Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you're at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you're at the most efficient way to get the show. Just enter Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine, and the show pops right up. So we're at our year-end show. We're going to review some of the fights of the year, knockouts of the year, the usual. Before we go into it, it is important that I take the time to look at the K1 card that happened the other night. I won't go into it full, but I definitely want to look at some of the results on the card and just some of the narratives that I kind of took from it. First of all, I'll knock out some of the early card results. Kyoji Akeda gets a victory over Yuki Toyota. Kazuki Sagagami gets a victory over Yuto Sato by knockout. Masafumi Karasaki gets a victory over Hideki by unanimous decision. And then we have Takehito Nimi gets a victory over Teoki Takahashi. Shado Matsuko gets a victory over Taito by KO in the first. And then Hanada Matsumoto gets a victory over Mao Hishimoto. Extinction round, that was the it was supposed to be one of the reserve. Nope, sorry, I was one fight away. Katomi Miharu, Masahiro was the reserve fight that took place for the female tournament. So go ahead and jump right into the tournament field. The whole thing, and I'll go ahead and start with the reserve. Katomi really, I mean, it was kind of a clinch fest, kind of an uglier fight, but she does bring pressure and she comes with, aggression, in particular after she gets hit. So Mihiro would, land something clean in space, and then as soon as it happened, you could see Katomi think, okay, better throw six, you know what I'm saying? She hit me with one, I better throw six. She hit me with two, better throw seven. Like, not necessarily the most controlled clean techniques, but the aggression to battle back was there. Mihiro Masahiro is a weird one because Masahiro really does have a good look. By a good look, I mean she is attractive, but like a different look than how like Rina is attractive. She's got a good look. She's got clean offense in space. She doesn't handle when aggression comes back at her that well. But she has talent, something's there. Needs to sit down at the punches a little bit more. Just needs a little bit more fight, a little bit more, okay, it's up for grabs, let's battle back. Usually, even if she's down and around, she reverts back to kind of clean offense as opposed to, I need to really, really put the numbers up to get the round back. So just something that can happen in growth, but she should, I like some of the tools that she shows as a pro. Katomi ends up winning, and she is your reserve. Reserve was not needed. Kana gets her, her fight with Christina Morales was a lot of fun. Morales has had a really good year in Fusion Champion. When I brought up who should be female fighter of the year, her name came up. She was able to beat Kana, but a lot of good stuff. This was a very competitive fight. For me, it just kind of came down to, you hear this term on the show a lot. Kana landed the sexy shots, whereas Christina Morales landed the volume. And Christina had these straight line, where she would throw 5, 6, 7 strikes. Just her volume for winning rounds is really high. But because she was coming at Kana in a straight line, when Kana did want to bite down on the mouthpiece and throw the big shots over the top, she was able to find them. She was able to score those shots. So I thought it was close. I gave the first round to Kana. I gave the second round to Morales. And then an interesting third where, again, it could have gone either way. A shot landed kind of awkward. Kana kind of slipped more than was knocked down. And they came in and they called it a slip. And then shortly after, Morales is in a combo and she's throwing a low kick. And Kana times a good overhand shot, scores it. Morales goes down. And I think just the awkwardness in which she fell, it wasn't like a fell on your butt, back up to your feet situation. She fell and kind of turned to the side a little bit. It's a pick 'em call. And I've talked about it on this show many times. The hardest thing to do in kickboxing as a ref is decide what is a knockdown, whether it comes off of you getting hit when you kicked or whether it's considered a slip. Even I've heard tough talk, by refs in the back. I'm going to call it this way, and then it happens live, and they're just not as sure. Maybe the pressure's on them to not want to impose themselves in a fight, or maybe the pressure's on them to commit to what they said in the back. All I know is it's a tough call, and it's not one of those where I jump on refs about because I realize how difficult it is. I was completely fine with this one being called a knockdown. The knockdown was enough to give Conor the decision. She moved to the final. Josephine Knutson of Knutson gets a unanimous decision victory over Melanie Haggis. Melanie is not without skill, but she does do some good things. And she found a sneaky head kick on the break. She was getting close, and I heard Mike, you know, Big Mike calling for it. Like, he could see, like, that was the shot to go for. But Melanie, and I've seen this in her MMA fights and so on, when she wants to throw back to get back into a round, she's so aggressive that she runs in and stuffs her own offense. And it keeps her from having the ability to score clean throughout. You know, she's got talent. She's got, like, the skills there, especially when she can work in space. Like, the low kick speed's there. Punching power is solid. You know, it's just she's got the skill. But more times than not, her own aggression will lead to her not being able to get back in the rounds. Josephine looked great. Like, she showed a lot of good skill. The second round in particular, I was like, man, this girl's freaking good. Like, she is landing everything. Combination game was good. Added, you know, boxing flow with the kicks on the end. Sometimes kick flow with the boxing on the end. Like, she put it together really, really well. She was able to win this decision clear. Scorecards actually did give Melanie some love. 30-29 in one of them. So they had a really close to add two 10-10s. And then 30-28 in the other two, which means that they had one 10-10. The third round was a better round for Melanie, and the first round had some good moments for her. But solid fight. Josephine Knutson moves on for the rematch with Kana. Kato then defeats Ho Sung Kim by KO. It was one of the more brutal KOs you're going to see. He scored a knockdown earlier in the fight. He gets the boxing going, and Ho Sung Kim is probably knocked out on the finishing sequence of 3 to 4 strikes. I would say maybe the second strike knocked him out, and then there was 2, maybe even 3 more cleanup shots on the ropes. It was like when I put that KO on the highlights of the year, people are like, dude, that was a violent KO. So good stuff by Kato as he gets a victory over Ho Sung Kim. Kato Nakano then gets a victory over Jin Hirayama. Again, I had mentioned before, like, the term that you'll hear in boxing sometimes is don't hook with a hooker. You know, that they say that term, like, and basically it just means if that's their Sunday punch, you know, if that's the thing that they're, you know, going to God with, if that is their strike, you got to be very, very patient about how you find that opportunity. You know, you got to be very, very patient about how you, find that moment. You know, like, it's just it's one of those things where it's like the scores usually need to have something in front of them, and even then you're taking a chance. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, Kota is a better left hook person than Jin Hirayama. I'm just saying I'm not saying that he's necessarily better at it, but he was finding the range on it a little bit better in this particular fight. Both of them shoot hooks at the same time. Nakano gets his there close, you know, faster. Jin gets knocked out. Both guys get hit, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't mean that you can't score it. But another example is Masato and Kraus. When Masato won by KO, Masato got hit, you know what I'm saying? But he had found the range. He was able to take the shot, and he was able to score big over the top. Here, I think that Nakano had figured out the power, decided to stay in the pocket and dare to be great, as I use the term. And Jin scored his, but Nakano scored his better. Big-time KO victory for Kato Nakano. Hisaki Kato gets a victory over KG by knockout. If you're wondering where you heard that name before, he is the gentleman who was in you might want to use the term rivalry, but he was in the fight with Joe Schilling, and in the first fight, of course, both of them are kind of beating each other up pretty good, but, like, he's got a weird style, and Schilling is trying to get a hold of him, and he was running into some stuff, and then he was hit. You know, he's able to get a spectacular KO knockout. in the MMA fight. So Bellator pays Cato a lot of money to then go do kickboxing against Joe Schilling. And he comes out and he's losing because Schilling, of course, is the better kickboxer. So as he said, I just kept going to my tricks. So he kept trying stuff, spinning stuff, you know, Supermans, all that, whatever. Boom, scores big time KO. After, you know, losing most of the fight, he catches Joe Schilling with a big time shot, wins by KO. So after this, I don't know what happened. I don't know if Bellator soured on him because maybe they didn't want him to win, or maybe he didn't look as good, or maybe he was unprofessional, or maybe whatever the reasons are that they decided not to move forward with him. The big time KO that, you know, could have, you know, vaulted him to being one of the regulars on the Bellator brand ended up with him not being with the brand anymore. And he gets this opportunity in Japan, and he goes out there and way better than KG, much bigger athlete, not the cleanest of techniques, you know, not the, he wasn't throwing clean, strong, effective offense. The big thing that really stood out to me was he was just such a bigger, stronger guy than KG. So the head kick he was landing wasn't even necessarily at the head. KG would get the glove up, but he just couldn't stop the force of it. Cato took it, he took it like a fight, like when you know the other person can't hurt you. He just kept pushing forward, kept being angry, kept, you know, or fighting mean, I should say. Walked him down, scored big offense on the ropes, scored three knockdowns, and got it done in the second round. So we'll see what happens. I'd like to see him go against some better opposition. That way his kickboxing can show up a little bit more. And he should use these kind of fights to build his kickboxing. You know, it don't get easier. You know what I'm saying? That's a tough weight division he's in. So if he wants the campaign there, he's got to switch this from just doing, you know, going for head kick kills against kickboxers to, you know, or for against guy who he's superior to using the rounds to getting better so that when he goes against a really good guy, he's prepared. Fukushi Mizutani gets a KO victory over Tetsuya Yamada. Fukushi is a talented guy. Tetsuya Yamada is also a talented guy, but he's looking like he's more on the other side of it. He's had some great fights. He's been around for a long time. He's got some good wins. He's had a great career. But here we are. You know, I've known about him since 2007, you know, 2006, and we're 12 years deep into this, and he's had some fights, and he's had some wars, and it's not what he used to be. He can still beat up. You get the right guy in front of him, he'll style him, but he's slowing down a little bit. Fukushi puts together a brutal offensive barrage, 6-7 strikes in it, and Tetsuya Yamada goes down in the third. Big-time KO victory for Fukushi, who is talented. Not sure if I, like, jump out of the gym talented, but, like, definitely a skilled fighter. Oiwa gets a victory over Stavros Exakostis. Sorry. Thought I had that name down. Dang it. I've said it correct on the show so many times. Exakostis. My thing with Oiwa, is that good victory, but never not one of the standouts in Japan when I sit down and look at the fight cards. So I think to build on it will help. To, you know, tournaments, of course, help, and consistency helps. But right now, when I look at your Noris and your, you know, your Kimuras and, you know, your Rens, and, like, he's not one of the names that jump out. So we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. But good victory here. Masaki Nori gets a well-earned decision over Santoy. A lot of people had it 2-1, 29-29 on one, 30-29 on the other two. Just a good hard kickboxing bout, you know what I'm saying? And, of course, you guys know how I feel about Masaki Nori. That's my son. So he's doing exactly, you know, what he's supposed to be in terms of fighting elite guys, putting on good shows. He's a good kickboxer. Just a really, really skilled kickboxer who's, you know, all exciting, and anytime he's on a fight card, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get my money's worth. This guy's legit. So good stuff for Masaki Nori. My son wins again. Minoru Kimura gets a victory over Marcel Adeyemi. Again, one of your knockouts of the year. Kimura just walked him down, waited until he found his moment. He did a half retreat. It's one of his cooler tricks. Minoru has this trick where he knows he can generate power from anywhere. So when his bail step looks like he's going to go back full, he stops halfway and he shoots a short hook inside of it. And whether it's left or right kind of depends on the positioning of his opponent. And he knew he scored it well because after he scored it, instead of his opponent taking center, his opponent kind of backed off and went towards the ropes that was on his opponent's left. And so then he cut off and he took center. You know, Manuru took center. He starts letting the shots go. You cannot ear him off against this guy. He just started throwing the heat and he had his mind made up. Marcel tried to battle back and throw a shot in between. He's not that type of guy. You know what I'm saying? Because you really have to sit and you've got to catch with your body weight where the shots land and then come back with offense. You can't just try to time in between and punch with your shoulders. You really got to have the, you know, with this type of guy. Instead, he stayed there. Manuro just kept blasting away. And then as Marcel tried to punch back, he was more open to Kimura's offense. Big shot lands. He's out on his feet, and then he has a delayed reaction, fall down, KO. Big year for Kimura, you know what I'm saying? The opposition hasn't been super hot, but as far as building his brand of, you know, just this urban, you know, this American-styled urban Japanese kid who's from Brazil is like, you know, who's Brazilian, I should say. He's been in Japan for a long time. He's building his brand, you know, bilingual and just doing a great job of being someone that people want to see. And as I said before, he's got the look, you know, and he's got the charisma, something about this guy. If he can put it together against elite guys, they'll have something. But unfortunately, when he's gone against Nori and the rematch with Q Fairtex, and it's just, he's had trouble with those better guys. But he also has some wins against some of those guys. You know, I mentioned he has the victory over Ku. He's got a victory under Masao Thunder. He is a good, steady guy in the division. Yusuke Takai gets a victory over Shiryan Lek by unanimous decision. Takai was on form, scored a couple knockdowns in this. Clearly, one of the stars to come for them. Like, he is going to be something down the road. And more opposition, you know, harder opposition will be coming. He'll continue to grow and build his brand. But this is a big-time win. Big-time win for him. I'm laughing right now because as I record this, I'm in New York for a fight. And I'm recording in my hotel room. But it's New York, so it's like always a ambulance or always a something going by in the background. So if you hear that, just, you know, it's New York, so hopefully it doesn't bother you too much. Anyways, let's go ahead to the final. Kana gets a victory and an extension round split decision over Josephine Knutson. It should be said, and this is very, very important because a lot of people are upset about it. The judging in the last three fights were very, very pro-Japanese. Something to be expected if you know the sport, but I've seen a lot of people comment on Twitter and a lot of people, you know, brought it up because all the close ones went in the way of Kana, you know, of the Japanese fighters. And sometimes people didn't think it was close. Sometimes they thought that it was clear for one person over the other. It just didn't go that way. But Kana is, after a very, you know, tough, close fight with Josephine, who she lost to, you know, already, she gets a split decision extra round victory. She is your K-1, you know, champion. I'm fine with either the wins. Like I said, they were close, and you can definitely make an argument for Knutson winning. Like, she is a talented girl. She has the volume. I'm fine with it. It's not egregious, but it's consistent. And Japan does have this, you know. I remember Iman Barlow talking about fighting in Thailand. She goes, when you go, you have to really win the fight. Like, you have to leave no doubt. That way, there's no argument for the other person, and that's how you get a victory. Japan has been that way for a long time because if you don't really stretch the other person, or if you don't outdistance them, they'll just go ahead and call a draw, no problem. Like just there's nothing in them that says, okay, I really want to lean this way or the other. They like the 10-10 round. They use a 10-10 round more than anybody in the world. So that's kind of how this one went down. Rikuya Ampo gets a victory over Kuf. Ku Fairtex or Ku Resacrec. extension round. All of them gave him the Ampala, the winner, and the extension. Ku's still a talented guy. Still beat a lot of guys. A lot of people thought he won this one. You know, it's just same as I was saying before. I think Ampo was good. He's fought better in the past. But, you know, Ku's a tricky guy. Tricky style. Hard to score consistent offense again. Against him being KO'd earlier this year was like a stunner. You know, he's been dropped before, but he's a tough guy. He's a tough guy, really talented fighter. Ampo gets the victory, but as I said before, these last few fights, when I looked at Twitter, most people just talked about the results of the decision way more than what actually happened in terms of the action in the ring. So Ampo didn't leave that with the momentum of, this is the guy. He left it with the momentum of, we've just been had. It's supposed to be someone else. So, anyways, last, the exhibition between Takuro and Yuki Egawa. Clearly, this was a money stunt. But if you've ever seen Takuro, if you've ever seen him, any type of video of him sparring on his Instagram or any kind of Twitter clip that you find, he's got one speed. Death Con. Like, he is trying to kill people. Him and Egawa got right in the pocket and just beat each other up. That was it. That was their whole goal. Like, they just... Everything about it was just offense, offense, offense. They really went at each other, and it was aggressive. It was violence. It was the most fun you're going to have in an exhibition fight ever. I think about some of the exhibition fights in the past with Hiroya and Masato, and you know, shoot, Masato did another one not too long ago. He's making good money just coming out and doing some of those fights. But like, this one had the feel of, this should be a fight. This should be an actual fight. Because they really were going at each other and killing each other. So, fun stuff from K1 as always. But now we're going to go ahead and get into the base of this show. The next 20-25 minutes will be mostly about fights of the year. You know, the things that people were excited to see. The things that, you know, events of the year. Just what made the sport special this time around. And... I will go ahead and start off with KO of the Year, because there are a lot of fun candidates for KO of the Year. I mentioned some of them on this card. The, you know, big time KO that we got from Minoru Kimura, who sent some, you know, several of them. I thought that was a mean KO because, you know, Marcel kind of had a, you know, front like face plant almost thing, and those are kind of really cool. So that one was big. You can look at anytime there's a KO in women's fighting, it's always cool. And we had a, well, you know, I guess that's a okay. JD Menezes has had a KO to the body over, had a brief mental lapse there as I was thinking about fights. But the Chamonix, yes, I was having a mental lapse. JD versus Chamonix had a body shot KO in it. You had some really good options from, like I said, Japan had some really cool KOs. One Championship had some really good KOs. But for me, you know, my KO of the year, just because I think it's substance over who you do it against matters to me. And the fact that Alex Pereira scored one of the cleanest left hook KOs you're ever going to see when he moved up in weight. He is killing it right now. And the, you know, Abena KO, just the way it happened, and he hurt before it, and then the big cleanup. And I'm sitting there in the audience, the feel to it. It really was a special KO. So for me, that's definitely one of the more memorable KOs in, you know, the whole sport for me. Like, it was really, really cool. It was really, really violent. Like, it was something that's like, and again, everybody's different, but it's just something that really stuck with me. But I'm going to go ahead and go to the online, because when I went to Twitter and I posted this, there were a lot of people who gave me some really good, you know, to answer this question. They had some really good answers, and I want to go ahead and revisit that, because really this list was combined with what I got from Twitter. Like it's just, I put the question out there, say, hey, what do you guys feel? who do you guys have here? And I got some really, really good answers. So I'll go ahead and show some of the consistencies that I got on the show. And again, it's just, it is a preference thing. You know what I am talking about. It is, everyone's going to have different opinions, but man, I really like some of the answers that I received. So I'll go ahead and jump on it. The KO that I saw come up a lot was Perry and Willis and Wellness. And I think the reason why that one came up so much was not only was it an awesome KO, but Joe Rogan had it on his show and he talked about how much Alex is killing it right now. So I saw that one come up a lot with Wellness. I saw that we had, let me see, there's a couple other answers here that I want to see. The back kick from Remu, that was actually pretty special. That was a lot of fun. But I think Alex was the one that came up the most. So if I had to go with KO of the Year off of fan voting, that one would be the winner. It definitely came up. Story of the Year, I mentioned, I was surprised when I posted not enough people brought up the situation with Petrosian and the tournament. And then there were some jokes that they had all been paid off. But like the story of Petrosian and Yotes and Clive both going out in the first round of their tournament, of the one championship tournament, and then all the things that went into the reasoning behind bringing Petrosian back into the tournament. I won't go into it, but that's a long, long, long story. But just the idea that he was lost, and then he posted that, hey, they made it a no contest because the rules were, you know, supposed to be judged, because the illegal tactics from Petch, Morcott, and then Petch posted their video saying that they never violated it, which they didn't. And then they paid Petch more money, and they came out and said, we don't know where anybody got that, you know, knee thing. The reason why is, under full rules, Muay Thai, Petch would have won, and in kickboxing, Georgia Petrosian would have won, which, of course, was nonsensical. I thought that Petrosian won clean. He should have just won on the cards. It just didn't go that way. In truth, it felt like the wrong person won, and they changed it. And, you know, if it's your promotion, you can do it, you know? So do your thing. That's you. So, but that story, I was surprised more people didn't bring it up. The stories that they did bring up was, I think, personal ones. Michael, I know I'm pronouncing your last name wrong, but Sholin, he had said that he's upset that K1 still isn't giving people a means to watch the fights of K1 and kickboxing outside of Japan. He's hoping that there is effort put into that so that, you know, the European and, you know, American, you know, particular European fan bases can get a hold of that content. Like, it should be something that's streamed regularly on their website. Now, they do a good job of putting it up on YouTube afterwards, but, like, it is something that people would like to see live, and they'd stay up. It's part of the heart of this game and the history of my love with it. That came up as, you know, the history of my love with it is staying up late and watching those events, you know? So I think that people are right to say, hey, bring this back. Another one that I saw out there for Story of the Year. shout out to Kerav Fan because he's been beating this drum the most on Twitter. He says, the death of Takuru Intention. It is now moved down to just, I'll fight him on both sides. And just like, you know, your top rank and Golden Boy, they know that there's that big wall between them, and it ain't happening. The chances of it happening is really, really low. Off of that, I think it's going to work its way out to happen at some period of time. It's just K1 is right to hold on to their huge star. And if anything, Tenshin, who's got the most flexible contract situation, if K1 can give him a legit offer, maybe something can happen there. But he is the greatest Kakutugi combat sports, you know, non-boxing prospect ever in the history of the country, you know? So, like, if there's going to be a slow step to this fight happening, I understand. But I can also see why it's starting to look like politics is going to win and we're not going to get that fight. So definitely want to bring that one up. So other things that I want to talk about as far as event of the year, that's the only unanimous I've got. I didn't have too many offers for anything else. Everyone brought up the Collision 2 event. Collision 2 was great. Collision 2 was absolutely phenomenal. It was just the way it was done and the crowd, and just it's what you want to see. You know Cape Kickboxing is capable of putting on a good show with that audience. You know they are. So when they put on a good show, you know, with that audience, it just makes you think if we can just get others to sit down, they will enjoy this brand. And that's important. So that was a really good night. So really, really good stuff. So event of the year clearly went to Collision 2 and Holland. Prospect of the year, saw some stuff all over the place for that one. That's always going to be a pick 'em. Prospect of the year, I had one person have Ogawa. I had one person have Becca Irwin. I had, you know, Toma, you know, of K1. Like, there were names all over the place, and that's wonderful. And that's what I want. I want people to just say, hey, I like this person the best. When I went to the online voting on that, that was one of my favorite ones to just kind of revisit and go, man, that person was awesome. Man, that person was good. You know, it really, really was a lot of fun. And then I wish I put it out there, but Breakout Fighter of the Year, because Jonathan Haggerty really had a real, you know, good year as far as didn't know him, now you know him kind of year. You know, Upset of the Year, something that I would like to put on there. And of course, Sana would have won that one for me, you know, for the ONE Championship and his win over Jotun Klai. And there was a lot of good fights out there, a lot of good topics that I didn't hit on, but I definitely wanted to bring that one up. For me, Fight of the Year has some good candidates. And I mentioned Jotun Klai and Sana. That one came up. I also saw Kimura and Kaneko. That was a all-out war where people were killing each other. That one was awesome. Rod Tang. Oh, man. I forget his name. Please don't hate me. The Brazilian kid. They really put on a good show. I can't think of the guy's name. That was awesome fighting. I was going to try to put that in the Full Rules Muay Thai show, though. But, like, that one was a fun one. And then I'd say the, you know, one of the bigger ones for me, and this is just me personally, I really like Willness and Donovan Visa, because the type of kickboxing action was the sport at its highest level. It really was beautiful kickboxing, you know, back and forth. Like, it was just absolutely wonderful. Fight of the Year still is an easy call for me. Unquestioned, without challenge, for me, it's Badr Hari versus Rico Verheeven. There's just so many storylines in it. There's just, and you guys, you heard the last podcast. I spent a lot of time on it. It just, there's just so much of back and forth, so much high level, you know, fighters having their moment. You know, Badr coming out, scoring the knockdown early. Rico getting his composure with the jab later in the round. Round two, Rico getting into his kickboxing flow, doing extremely well. Round three, Badr Hari with the combination through the switch stance with the left kick high. It was, and you know, even the injury, everything about it was just intrigue and the crowd enjoyment and the walkout. Everything about that fight is the most memorable fight. When I went down the line, most people had that as Fight of the Year. When I looked at other websites, a lot of people had that as Fight of the Year. For me, that was a no-brainer. It really, really was fun to watch. Go ahead and wrap the show up with Fighter of the Year. I saw Takai Yoshiki, who, you know, 5 fights, 5 KOs. That was the one that popped up. He definitely had a good year. And I'm fine with that as a winner, you know. Ogawa, I'm fine with that as a winner. He won a big-time tournament, and he won the whole tournament by stoppage. You know, like, that's what you want. You know, I'm fine with Kana for Female Fight of the Year. It's a little bit harder because you want to look at Mexen and you want to look at Van Soos, but they split. So it's almost like they knocked each other out by, you know, beating each other in that fight. So definitely, you know, that is another name that comes up that are for the women's game that I saw. For me, 3 fights, 3 elite guys. Alex Pereira is my guy. Like that would be my pick for Fighter of the Year. And again, I would probably put him and I put Ogawa on that list too. I'd have co-guys. I really liked Ogawa. I think he had a good year. But just winning by stoppage to the body in 3 straight fights and the history of what tournaments, you know, do in this game, I'm a big fan there. I wish there was a little bit more consistency from some of the other guys out there to add them to the list, but I didn't have it. So, you know, Sturgeon won the tournament, but of course it's marred by the fact that he lost and then got back in. And then you look at, you know, Regan Ursel just didn't fight enough. You know, the Nicky Holtkin, that's a good time. That's a big win, but like, he's fighting like Mayweather, you know, if it's like once a year, you know, like, I'm hoping that he gets more activity. The different fighters out there, for the different organizations, I think that the ones that stood out as far as consistency are the ones that I mentioned, are the, you know, Pereira and Agawa and Takai. So, I mean, we'll see. And then, of course, you know, I know a lot of people might have a Jordan Piquet as a, like, outside, you know, really consider this guy. But I think the main guys are going to be Takai, it's going to be Agawa, and it's going to be Alex Pereira. Those would be the top, you know. So as we look back on this year, we're going to have those as options, and I really do think that we will remember this and say, what a fun year in kickboxing, and, you know, what great standout performances from those three individuals. And then from the women's game, Kana, and then, of course, the split between Tiffany Van Susten and Nissa Mexen, and another year where Iman Barlow does not lose, so she's another person that you definitely can have at the top of your list. Amy Perny. Amy Perny is probably, you know, Amy Perny and Mexen are really towards the top for me. The only thing is, this is kind of kickboxing based on the show, and those are both full rules Muay Thai girls mostly. So a lot of fun, and we'll see what happens moving forward. So God bless everybody. Thank you for listening to my podcast, and I hope to hear from you again soon. All right, bye.